I invite your attention today to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Today we continue our series on the church upon this rock. Jesus said, I will build my church. Today the focus is the Word of God. That has to be the focus. One of the main focus of the church. Would you stand with me as we read from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13? But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished or thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here today. Heavenly Father, speak to us through your word. Convict of sin. Draw us to you. Lord, we want to draw near to you. And we pray that you would cast Satan out from this place, that he have no foothold in any part of this service this morning, but rather that you be the focus and that you receive the honor and the glory. Father, help us to respond to your word, not just simply hear it. I pray that your word changes us for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Do you realize that the Bible is the Word of God? Amen. The Bible is without error. Do you believe that? Amen. The Bible is without error, meaning mistake-free. The Bible is God-breathed, inspired. It's God's communication to you. If you want to hear from God, you can literally open up what God has to say to you. And there you have it. It's not hard. My question is, if we know all that, we know the Bible is without error, we know it's God-breathed, we know it's the Word of God, and we know it's good for any situation in life that we have, we know that, right? What are we doing with it, is the question. What do we do with it? Is it a part of our lives continually? We start today in verse 13, where Paul's writing to Timothy and he says, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You see, I think there has been a deception that has crept into churches today. And, I mean, look at churches in general over our country. Do you realize churches are bigger than they've ever been? We have better buildings than we have ever had, nicer facilities than ever before, and we have more programs than we have ever had. I mean, you name it, there's a program for it, right? We have youth ministry, single ministry, seniors ministry, women's ministry, men's ministry, music ministries, media ministries, and any other ministry you can think of. Churches have addressed it today. And that's okay. That's all right. But even with all this, it would seem that our knowledge of the Word of God is at an all-time low. And I fear it's because we have replaced the Bible with busy. I mean, we want to do all these church things, and that's fine. The fellowship is great. However, the most important thing that takes place in any church is the instruction of the Word of God. Beloved, we've got to realize What churches are doing today, it just doesn't really cut it, quite honestly, because look at the result. Marriage is falling apart. Divorce rate is higher than ever. Drug and alcohol abuse, and there's more depression, anxiety, discontentment, social conflict, political conflict, and we're talking about churches. We hadn't even gotten out into the world yet. Why is that? I fear that it's because we've missed one of the most foundational truths available to us today, and that is the Word of God. I mean, we think we've done our religious part when we come to church on Sunday. There's more to it than that. As a matter of fact, I think you could take that old Field of Dreams movie, that phrase, if you build it, they will come. I think today's churches could say, we have built it and it's done no good. Because lives are not changed. And lives will not be changed by programs if the programs are not God-focused upon the Word of God. Now today, I want you to understand, today's about the Word of God. I'm not going to tell you that you should read through the Bible this year. Not going to do it. I'm not going to tell you that you need to spend an hour a day in the Word of God. I'm not going to do that either. Because you know what I've discovered? Boy, preachers can get on their soapbox and they can shake their fingers and jump up and down and say, we got to get into the Word of God. You've got to spend so much time in the Word of God. You've got to read through the Bible. And until you decide that it's really, really important, you won't do it. Neither will I. But you see, the lie is that we've believed is you can please God and you can live to the glory of God without spending time in the Word of God. That's a lie. It's impossible. Otherwise, how are you going to know what God wants you to do? You say, Brother Doug, I come listen to you every Sunday. I'm not good enough in 30 minutes to give you what you need to live the other 7 days of the week. You've got to seek it for yourself. Get into the Word. Open the Word. If this is the Word of God, do you believe it? It is the Word of God. It is good for every situation you may face. If it is all those things, doesn't it make sense that we should open her up and see what God has to say? Because until you do, it will do you no good. You see, we have been deceived because we have liberty. Paul told Timothy, he said, you must continue in the things which you have learned, the things which you know firsthand. And Timothy knew that the Word of God works. Do you know that? I mean, back up. We got to get on the same page here just a minute. Y'all got to help me be excited this morning, okay? I just baptized 3 folks. I'm excited. All right? I get to preach this morning. I'm excited. You got to help me. You got to go with me, all right? Most Christians today, quite frankly, have opted out of the study of the Bible. And I think that's our problem. How many times, how often do you get into the Word? How often do you get into the Word? Do you open this up? And I'm not talking about filling in a blank. Well, I read 5 chapters a day. Well, how much time do you spend meditating, trying to get something out of those 5 chapters? You know what I've discovered? I can get on a reading plan and I can't stay on it. Because as I go on, as I go through, God will point this one scripture out to me and I just have to sit and I have to think about this one short scripture. You ever do that? I quit filling in blanks a long time ago and now I want to soak up what God has for me. Right? Get into the Word. People ask me a couple weeks ago, it hadn't been that long ago, somebody asked me, have you read any good books lately? That's what I thought. Have you read any good books? Like, they knew I was a pastor. Have you read any good books lately? I said, yes. What were they? Once again, you know, I've read the best book, the Word of God. And listen, you know, and I want you to understand, first of all, just because you read a religious book, it doesn't make you a holy person. We spend more time reading books about the Bible than we do reading the Bible. There's something wrong with that. Now, I'm not saying don't read other books. I read other books too. But I want you to have the concept of, yes, you do have the greatest book, the bestseller of all times, in the Word of God before you every day. And what's in here is a sure-fired, never-fail recipe for the problems of this life. Do you realize that the Bible works? I mean, really, do y'all realize that this will never fail? If you put this into practice, you will never fail. Never, ever, ever. Okay? Really, Brother Doug? Yes. Now, marriage. Let's talk marriage. You can buy book after book on how to be married. Half those people have been divorced. I'll just be honest with you. I guess maybe they think they know how they messed it up. They can share it with you, and you won't do that. But doesn't it make sense that if I'm going to be married, I should seek advice from the one who created marriage? Doesn't that make good sense? So let's go to the Word of God. Ladies, would you love to have a wonderful marriage? Ladies, would you love to have a wonderful marriage? Ladies, would you... Boy, y'all are never going to get out of here today. Ladies, would you love to have a wonderful marriage? I'm going to tell you how. Okay? I'm going to tell you how. You ready? This isn't Brother Doug. This is God who created marriage. You know what God said? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Whoa! Wait a minute. I didn't sign up for that. Doesn't it make sense that the one who created marriage would be the one who knew how it was supposed to go? Doesn't it? It's kind of like the instruction manual. I created it. Here's how you do it. Yeah, but I'm just as good as your husband is. No, you're probably better than your husband is. Okay? Has nothing to do with anything. You want your marriage to work? Be willing to submit and let Him lead. Be the spiritual leader of your home. Okay? You said, well, what is he going to do? Don't worry about him right now. You worry about you. You want a good marriage lesson? Open up Ephesians chapter 5 and it covers everybody. But right now we're talking about you, ladies. Be willing to listen to the Word of God. And the Word of God says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now let's talk about the husbands. Husbands, you want a great marriage? Do you want to be met at the door every day when you come in from work by your wife wearing the biggest smile saying, oh, I'm so glad to see you? You want that? Too much, huh? Ephesians 5:25, husbands. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. This is the Word of God. This is how the Word of God says do it. Ladies, you probably wouldn't have much problem submitting to his authority if he had loved you like Jesus loved the church. What do you think? There you go. You see, it works. Make her the center of your world. Make her the love her and put her first before everything else. Well, now, Brother Doug, this is just kind of all in there. There's no theory to it. It works. It works. You know, if we'll quit searching for answers in every book written by every college professor in the world and start looking in the book, our lives would get better. You see, this is the handbook that God has given. And He said, here's how you do it. And the reason He's given it, it's not to try to mess up your life and make your life hard. He's saying, this is what works. This makes your life better. That's why I'm telling you. How many of you are parents? How many have ever had child problems? If you're a parent, you've had child problems. You know how to fix it? Go to the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. You shall teach them diligently. What does He teach? Teach them diligently to your children. The them is the Word of God. Okay? Teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. What do your kids hear from you? Dads, moms, what do your children hear from you? How much time have you spent with your children in the Word of God? Oh, Brother Doug, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a Bible scholar. Can you read the Bible to your children? Then do it. Talk about how great your God is. Please share. Let your children see that you love Jesus. They need to see that. And they need to be taught by you. They need to hear the name Jesus when you're out among your friends. They need to hear you share Jesus when you tuck them in at night. They need to hear you pray in the name of Jesus when you sit down to meals. They need to hear from you the Word of God. Sit down with them. They're worth the time. You want to have good kids? Spend time in the Word with those kids. Because it works. Kids! How many kids have parents? Oh, come on. How many of you would like to have a wonderful relationship with your mom and dad? Children? Wouldn't it be nice that you just got along splendidly with your parents all the time? That when you entered in, they just hugged you. When you got home from school, say, I'm so proud of you. I love you so much. Wouldn't you like that?
I don't care.
Let me tell you how to have a good relationship with your parents. You know what the Word of God says? Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So I want you to get, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you are in life. The Word of God works for you. Okay? Just get into it. Seek it. Do you have enemies? How many of us have enemies? We all do. Do you know how to handle your enemies? Matthew 5:44. I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That, do you know that works? You know what I've discovered? When my enemy attacks me, if I attack back, it just makes my life worse. But when they look at me and say, brother, you know, that old preacher, I hate that preacher, and I look at them and say, well, I love you. Boy, it's like you popped their bubble. The fight's gone. Well, Brother Doug, I just can't do that. And what you're doing's not working either, is it? There's conflict on every side. You never get over that conflict. Why? Because you're not doing it God's way. Okay? What I want you to see, I said in the beginning, I'm not going to sit here and say, you've got to spend so much time in the Word of God and you've got to read through the Bible. And I'm not going to do that. What I want you to see is that you need the Word of God. You need it. Read it from that perspective. Don't read it to fill in a blank and say, I have spent an hour in the Word of God today. You know, get in it and see what God has to say to you. Because the Word of God is God breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration literally means God breathed. And is profitable, valuable, beneficial for doctrine, for teaching. You ever? That word teaching is talking about training. How many of you have a military background? Been in the military sometime. Does it not strike you as weird that they, half of what the military does, if not more than half, is all about training exercises on things that are not really real? They put this situation, this hypothetical situation of an invading army, and then they put our troops out there and train them on what they should do if this happens. Now you might back up and say, well, why are they doing that? Because you better train before you get there. I was shared with you before, I was air traffic controller in the military. And one night we were all sitting at the radar screen, There was me and a couple other guys there. And boy, we were drinking coffee and we were thinking, boy, this is an easy night. This is an easy night. Nothing going on. And all of a sudden, and all of a sudden, the weather came in to the base. I mean, it was just like, it was clear in a million one minute and foggy and nothing the next. And all of a sudden, all those airplanes out there that were flying in the visual flight pattern, they broke out. And I'm the only one sitting on the radar screen at that point. And I had 20 airplanes call me at the same time. And they said, Columbus approach, this is Taco 1-2, we're breaking out. And 20 of them all at the same time. And I'm sitting there drinking my coffee. I hear all these airplanes calling me. And you know what I did? Nothing. For 5 seconds, I sat there thinking, oh my goodness. What am I going to do? And I could just see these little radar airplane tracks going away from Columbus Air Force Base. You could see them, you know, running. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, what'd I do? Supervisor says, are you going to do something? Make a long story short, after about 5 seconds, my training kicked in. And I began to talk to each pilot. First thing I told him, okay, everybody be quiet. I'm the only one that can speak right now. Y'all listen to me. And I started individually identifying every aircraft that broke out of that pattern. Brought them all 20 back home. Took about 30 minutes. And I went from, you know, stroke level blood pressure back down to normal. But it was the 30 minutes of, I don't know if I can do this. But they trained me for stuff like that. Okay? One of our great problems in Christianity today is the lack of preparation and training. The Word of God, okay? The Word of God is good for instruction, for teaching, for training, so that you will be prepared. You will never understand, or I cannot express to you how many times I have been caught off guard without a clue that something was about to happen, and it happened, and I sat there, and my thought is, oh my Lord, help me. And the Word of God in that still small voice filters back down into my heart that said, peace be still. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. And these, but you know how that comes? It comes because before I get to that situation, I have been in the Word of God. And you know what I really find amazing? The time I spend in the Word of God in the morning, most of the time I need it before that day's done. Have you ever noticed that? Wow! At the end of the day, I've had those situations, or throughout the day I have those situations, and it's just like, that's why God had me there this morning. Listen, It's profitable. It's beneficial. It prepares you. It's profitable for reproof, for testing. When you're tested, when Satan jumps on you and he's saying, yeah, we're going to see what you're really made of. You've got to be prepared. The psalmist David wrote, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Have you done that? How many times has Satan come up and said, ha, 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 I got you. Because you didn't put God's word, in your heart. Profitable for instruction in righteousness. That word, instruction, well, let's go back. I skipped one. Correcting faults. You see, the problem with us today is we don't want to be told we're wrong. But you know what I've discovered in the Word of God? When I'm told I'm wrong, it's for my benefit. Because these things that God has put in His Word, He hasn't put in there to make me have a terrible life. He's put in there those things in there so that I may know how to have a good life. Profitable for correction. Profitable for instruction in righteousness. That word instruction means literally in the Greek, raising and guiding a child toward maturity. Spend time in the Word of God, guess what? It's going to feed me so that I may grow and mature in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:2. Your word have I hid in my heart. I'm sorry. As newborn babes desire pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Do you want to grow as a child of God? You can't do it outside of the Word of God. In closing, the last chapter, the last verse, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That word complete means able to meet every and all demands. Able to meet all demands. We're living in an age when, quite honestly, Christians are falling. As I was preparing this message, I thought, wow, we're in spiritual warfare. You know? We're in spiritual warfare. We talk about the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, and the Word of God, and all these spiritual weapons. I fear that people today are going into battle unarmed. Think about it. What are you doing to arm yourself? My call to you today, church, my call to you today is take up arms. Get ready to fight. And I'm not talking about the government. I'm not talking about a 9mm. I'm talking about arm yourself with the Word of God. Because when Satan attacks, there is one sure thing that will set him on the run. And that is the Word of God. You remember Jesus when He was tempted on the mountain? Satan, after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights and he was hungry, here comes Satan. Satan says, well, if you're really hungry, turn these rocks into bread. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Father. Then he goes on and two more times, Satan tempted, and two more times Jesus quoted Scripture to him. And you know what Satan did? After that third time, Satan said, rain on this, I'm not getting anywhere. And so he left him. You want to set Satan on his heels? When you know you're under attack, quote Scripture to him. Because when you're quoting Scripture, it's not what you said, it's what God said. And he cannot stand against the Word of God. You here today? You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to just take a moment and share with you that the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That means you. God loves you. Isn't that great news? I mean, who are you that the God of this universe loves you? Loves you so much that He gave His Son to be the to pay the sin debt, your sin debt, to die for you. Have you accepted Him as your Savior? Maybe you're here today and you failed. You've been under attack of Satan and you failed. Well, here's my suggestion. Get on your knees. Ask God's forgiveness. Get up, get into the Word, and go back into battle. Okay? Don't quit. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. Your God's never quit on you. Maybe you're here today. You need to spend time at this altar praying for strength. Come on down. Maybe you need to come for church membership, for baptism, for salvation, whatever your spiritual need is. I challenge you. Beg you. Say yes to Jesus. Let Jesus have His way. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word, for the reminder of the importance of Scripture in our life. Lord, so often we set and we resolve to do better and to study more and to read Your Word more. And so often, Lord, we let that fall by the wayside. When the reality is, it's because we don't realize how important and vital it is to the life of a child of God. And so, Father, I pray for Your forgiveness for my laziness, for my lack of time in Your Word. And I pray that You would help us all, myself included, to be a better student of Your Word. That we'll all be more dedicated to spending time with You and hearing from You through Your Word. And now we come to this invitation. I pray, Lord, that You be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.